We need to keep in our prayers the persons who are living in Louisiana and New Orleans who are going to face the storm tonight. Some of you are here, have never been through a storm or a hurricane, so you don't know what it's like. But when you have been through one, like we have in Jamaica, you understand what the experience is like, and it's one that you never like to go through. Especially when the hurricane hits at night, it's far more worse than in the day. Because when the power goes, you're in total darkness and you're wondering what is happening outside. So keep them in your prayers as you go throughout the night. A few years ago, while I was attending the Brown Trail School of Preaching, one of the students had a gospel meeting that he was conducting at the congregation he was working with. And he came to the second year students and he asked us if we would like to speak one night out of that meeting. And we all agreed as second year students, we would love to preach one night. And I remember that student coming to me and he said, I was the only student he asked this question. He said, if I allow you to speak, I want you to make a promise to me that you will never call any denomination name from the pulpit. That was his request of me that day. And I said to him, that's a guarantee I will never be able to give you. Because I am a preacher, when I begin to speak, there are times that I will say things that I just say. And I just could not give him that kind of promise. But I thought about that and I said to myself, how easy it is for us to be in school and a school like the Brown Trail School of Preaching that stands for truth and righteousness, and then someone is asking me not to call the name of a denomination because there was a church next door to them that somebody might be offended by me calling that name. And it says to me that so many times we as Christians, we are comfortable inside of our buildings when we can say amen to the preaching because it sounds good inside of our building. But when we are allowed to stand up and say this is what is right and wrong, we are afraid to do it on the outside. And it says to me that so many of us as God's people are great pretenders. We pretend as if we are faithful and strong. But when it really matters, we do not want to stand up for God. And so it's okay when we come to church and we sit in this auditorium and we feel nice and comfortable and the AC gets too cold for us and we said amen to everything. But when it comes to standing up for God, we are afraid to do it. And you are sitting there wondering, what does that have to do with love in the home? Let me tell you what it has to do with love in the home. Because many of us, just like how we pretend to be Christians at times, we pretend to love in the home. And then when we come to church, we sit in the auditorium as if we have the perfect family. As if there's nothing going wrong with our families. And so when we come into our auditorium and we sit beside our husband and the wife, and we act as if there's nothing at all wrong with our families. And we see our children coming and we hug them and we feel as if everything is fine. But deep inside of us, we know that there's something wrong with our families. And by the time we get back home, the arguments start. And the wife starts to cry. And our children, they sit at the computer and they play all day because they do not want to talk to daddy or mommy anymore. And we know something is wrong with the family. But church, we are great pretenders. And we pretend when we come to church as if, oh, we have the perfect family. That's how our Christianity is. Didn't God say that if you love me, keep my commandments? Is there somewhere in the Bible that says that? Church? You can't say amen. I'm accustomed to it. Amen. Is there somewhere in the Bible that says, if you love me, keep my commandments? Because love to God is not something that we talk about. It is something that we do. And many times we talk about how much we love God, but we don't show it. Many times we talk about how much we love our wives, but we just don't show it. Many times we talk about how much we love our children, but they just don't see it. And when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he meant it. And by his commandments, he also meant, go and tell people about Christ. Go and talk to people about the goodness of Christ. When is the last time we talk to somebody about Christ? When is the last time you knock on somebody's door and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you did that? And yet we all say what? We love God. I remember Simon Peter, Christ asked him the question. Simon Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus says, Simon, do you really love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he asked him a third time, Simon, do you love? And Peter says, yes, I love. And you know what Peter was saying? Peter was saying, Lord, I like you. I have an affection for you. And that was not the answer that Christ was looking for. You see, many of us, we just like God. We don't really love him. We just like to know that we are in church. We just like God. But what God really wants of us is to really love him. And by love, he means the agape love. And many of us, we don't even understand what that word means. We hear preachers talk about the agape love, but we really don't understand what it means. Because the agape love is an unconditional love. It's a committed love. It's a love that knows no boundaries. That is a love that God demonstrated Christ for us. And that's the love we need to have for our families. So when we can understand what agape love is, then we can truly understand what it means to love your husband and the wife and your daughter and your son. When we can understand what God's love is for us is, then we can truly understand what love is all about. But now we just like God. And we feel nice being a part of a group that comes out on a Sunday and sit in an auditorium. We feel good. Because it's better than being at home watching television. So it's okay. But Christianity is more than just coming here. Christianity is more than just walking through those doors. It's what we are when we leave here. And to demonstrate that love for God, it must be shown, first of all, to your husband and to your wife and to the sons and the daughters. Because if you can't demonstrate that love for God to your children, you can't demonstrate to nobody else. And so we must learn, first of all, to love God and then love our families. You know, it's very easy to love God. Do you know that? Because God gives no problems in him. God gives us no problem whatsoever. Our children sometimes give us problem. The wife will give you a problem. The husband will give you a problem. What problem does God give you? None. He's the perfect person to love. And if God is the perfect person to love and we can't love him, then how can we truly love our husband and our wife and our children? He makes no mistakes whatsoever. He doesn't quarrel whatsoever with us. He just accepts us for who we are, and we have difficulty loving him. And if we have that difficulty loving God, then we are certainly going to have problems loving the imperfect human beings that you dwell in a house with. You're going to have problems. There's a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. I know we have a problem with that too, church. And by that word hypocrisy means, it comes from a Greek word meaning two-faced. You know, if you show one side, you have another face over here. And we get the word actors from that Greek word also. And as if we are acting on a stage, we pretend to love when we really don't love. And that kind of love is not genuine. It's a pretentious kind of love. And so we pretend how much we care about our children. Then why is it so many of our children are running away from home? Why we have so many families being torn apart if we love each other so much? Why we have husbands committing adultery if they love the wife so much? Why? What is happening to the love that we are proclaiming so much? But maybe the reason is, it's not as genuine as we say it is. Maybe we are just pretending that we love them and we really don't. Maybe we are just acting a part to let people think that our family life is so perfect. And so we are on this stage and we are acting as if everything is fine. But it's really not fine. I remember doing a lesson at a church in Jamaica. And it was on marriage. What makes marriage break up? And I remember at the end of that lesson, two ladies came to me and they said to me that, you know, we appreciate the lesson. Oh, why? Because I have a husband, the lady said to me, that for the last 5 years, we have not slept in the same room. For the last 5 years, we have not slept in the same bed. And I asked her why, and she said, the love is no longer there. Why is it not there anymore? Because, she said, that man calls me the worst names. Till eventually has run out of words to call me. And I wonder how many husbands who are Christians call their wives all kinds of derogatory names. And yet walk down the aisle here on a Sunday and stand on this pulpit and they say all kind of good things. Because we are hypocrites. That's what the Bible calls us. We are not genuine. That's what the Bible says. And because we are not genuine, we don't mind cursing the wives and walking here and stand there at the Lord's. We don't mind that. Because nobody knows what goes on at home. And that lady said to me, she said, brother, she said, I could never sleep with that gentleman again. Never. We could never be found in the same bed anymore. And many, many, many Christians are like that. Our homes are being torn apart. And guess what? Nobody knows about it at church. Because we are so good at keeping the secret. Husbands abusing their wives emotionally, physically. And nobody knows what's going on at home because we are good at keeping the secret. Children are being abused. And the only time the church knows is when they run away from home. And we start to wonder what was happening then. But when we have genuine love for somebody, you're not going to try to hurt them. You care for them. You nourish them. That's what the Bible says. There's no room for you to pretend because love does not pretend. Love is what we are. Then there's a problem of discipline in the home. And sometimes we wonder, why is that so many things go wrong with our children? You know why? Because we are afraid to discipline our children. We are afraid. And we let them run wild. Do what they want to do. And we say that, you know, we are allowing them to grow. Grow into what? Didn't the Bible say, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines? Is that what the Bible says? Yeah. And God expects us to discipline our children, not because we hate them, but because we love them. And so when your child begins to run wild and behave in a certain way, whose fault is it? Maybe because you didn't discipline them when they were young. Sometimes we allow these young kids to do what they want, and we smile at it, we laugh at it, it's such a cute thing. And then when they get older in life and they start to do what they want, we allow them to do it again. And there's a young lady in Jamaica. Her brother lives in the state and he has a sex change operation. He was born a male, decided he wants to become a female. And she's the only member of her family that would not accept that. Yeah, she's decided he will always be, her brother to her, nobody else. And the mother accept it, and she changed his name, and he's now her daughter. You follow me? Now, when is it, church, that God's people should allow things like this to happen and not say no to our children? It is wrong for us to do that. Not because we hate them or because we love them. We are standing up for the truth. And if God says something is wrong, it is wrong no matter what. But sometimes in the name of our children and love, we change the law of God to fit our family lifestyle. There was an elder somewhere in Texas once that strongly believed that adultery was wrong until his son was divorced for the wrong reason. And he no longer believed that. And that congregation eventually changed that doctrine to fit the lifestyle of the son. And how many of us would do that because we believe it is wrong now until it affects our daughters and our sons? And we are not willing to stand up and say, no, it is wrong because this is what God says. Because we claim to love our children. We say true love, you know, will stand up for God no matter what. And if it means that your children are going to dislike you for that moment, you're going to stand up for God nevertheless. God, this is what the word of God says. Too many times, we allow the pretense of love to get the better of us. It always hurts when the mask of hypocrisy is removed and the hypocrites begin to see their true self. It's never easy when people begin to see who we are and what it is that we are in life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17. The Bible says, if you would please turn the Bible there. Proverbs 15 and verse 17. Proverbs 15, verse 17. Proverbs 15, verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Better is a dinner with herbs than where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. And I want us to spend a little time with this verse. Because God is saying to us tonight that we can have the best meals at home. And many times we do have some of the best meals at home at the family table. But how many times do you have the best meal at the family table and there's hatred and quarrel in the home? God says it is better not to have the calf and to have herbs where there is love in the home. It is better not to be able to feed a child and have love there than to have all the food in the world and there is hatred and quarrel at the table. And sometimes we have that, you know. Sometimes we have the best food, the best clothes, the best homes. But those things cannot buy love. They are just material things. And many times we parents think that if we give our child the latest shoes, the Nike shoes, you know, young people want, if we buy them the latest fashionable clothes, if we have the best homes for them, we put them in the best schools, and then they feel as if we love them, no? Love is more than that, you know. Love is more than just giving them these things. Yes, it is good if we can give them. But love is much more than that. And our children must feel and know that love is in the home. You know why so many people are running away from home? You know why so many kids are running away from home? And yet we say we love them. But you see, if we don't show them enough love, then they're going to find it elsewhere. Many of the young men who join up with the gangs. Why do they join up with gangs? Because there's the gyang provide a certain kind of security and love that the home doesn't. And so when we find our children running away from us, it's an indictment on us as parents many times. Because we are not providing the love and the warmth that is needed in the home. And so we wonder why they are running and who they're running to. And why is it that that person over there have more influence on my child and I doesn't have that influence anymore? Well, maybe you don't spend enough time expressing that love to them. Maybe that they're not seeing the love that you are telling them about. Because love is something that we do. We act upon it every single time. It's an action word. But many times we just talk about how much we love them. And we tell them we love them, but they don't feel it. And love must be felt in the home. Then the next question is, why is that so many husbands don't go home when evening comes? You ever wonder that? They can go home, but they spend hours at the office, not wanting to go home. Trying to stay away from home until the wife falls asleep. Trying as much as possible that by the time they get home, the kids are asleep. Maybe because something is wrong in the home. Maybe there's a love that they're not feeling in the home. And so they prefer to stay at work and work late at night. Genuine love is not something that you pretend to be. It is something you are. And that action just comes out naturally. It's not forced upon anyone. It just flows naturally. That's genuine. Nobody have to ask you if you love you. They just know. And those persons have been married for 50 years. You don't ask if brother gone here, if his wife loves him. You don't ask that question. You just see it and you know. It's just there. It's not pretending. It's just, and you look at them, you see it. It's just there. And people must be able to look at a husband and wife and see the genuineness of the love. The thing about love is that God knows our hearts. Doesn't matter how much we try to fool the preacher, fool every member in this church, God knows our hearts. God knows how sincere and how genuine our love is for the husband and for the children in our homes. And if at this moment you don't feel that genuine love for your mate, the Bible says what? The older women are to teach younger women to what? Learn to love their husband. In other words, it's something you can learn. If you have lost that love, it is something you can learn to love again. It is something if you spend the time learning to do, it can happen. But we live in a very impatient world. As soon as our love for each other starts to diminish, what do? We find the nearest place that we can get a divorce, and we... That's it. That's the end of that marriage. We don't want to work hard at it. We don't want to work to build the love again. We just feel that it's get out time. And you know, that's why God put a little clause in marriage that the only reason for divorce is fornication. That's why God put it there. You know? Because God knows, you know. God knows that we as human beings, the moment a problem comes in marriage, we don't have the time to work at anything. And many of us, if we were not Christians, probably would have gone long ago. Would have walked out of that marriage long time. But that little clause in that marriage in Matthew 19 has kept us going. Kept us trying. And many of us people can say, well, I've gone 15 years and 50 years and 25 years in marriage. You know why? Because we keep on trying. Because it's not perfect. Marriage is never perfect. Our family life will never be perfect, but we keep on trying nevertheless. Keep on trying and praying to God that He will help us, that our marriage will be strong, our families will be strong, and our children will feel the love that we have for them. And so, part of love, that genuine love, is learning to forgive. You know, if more of us in our families just learn to forgive, we'll have less problems in the family. Do you know that? But too many times we keep up things too long. And too many times years, months pass, years pass, and guess what? The same thing that we had a problem with a year ago, 2 years ago, it is still there. Because every time somebody does something wrong, we bring it up back. Didn't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 13 that love keeps no record of wrong? That's genuine love. Keeps no record of wrong. In other words, when love forgive, it wipes the slate clean. And sometimes wives have a way of keeping a permanent record of things. Say amen, husbands. Amen, good. Wives have a way of keeping a permanent record of things. And when the husband hurt them again, guess what they do? They bring it up back again. And husband is there saying, didn't you forgive me 6 months ago? Yes, but you did the wrong thing again. That's not love. The Bible says love keeps no record of wrong. Because each time you bring it up back, it creates a bigger problem. And it keeps on destroying the relationships and let it go. And each time you tell us something wrong and you keep bringing it up back, you have not dealt with the issue. And it creates a bigger problem for you. Let it go. So many of us, we have things that we have in our family life built up over the years. We're not speaking to mommy. We're not speaking to grandma. Some of us in umpteen of years, we have not spoken to our children. And we have not tried to reach out to them. Try. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Love can overcome anything in this world. Do you know why that in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son, when he realized his predicament, where did he want it to go? Where did he want it to go? Home. Why did he want to go home? Because he knew that there was a loving father waiting for him. And no matter what your child has done wrong, you must always let them know that there's a loving mother and a loving father waiting for them when they're ready to make their life right. And so when he began to suffer in the world, he says, have a father with a house. I'm going to go back home. And when he was ready to go home, his father was there waiting every day, looking out for him. And when the son reached home, the father was there with open arms, welcoming the man home. Why? Because you never stop loving your children. No matter what they have done wrong in this world, you hate the sin, but you love the children anyway. And the father was there waiting for that son to come home because he loved him so much. And that is what genuine love is all about. Same want to go road, let him go. You're not going to quarrel with him. That's what he wants. But when he makes the mistake to go and he's ready to come home, love is there waiting for him. Because love will bring him back home. Love. And so if your children have become unfaithful to God, keep on praying. Keep on praying for them. Don't give up hope. Because one day, when you think the least of it, church, one day, they're going to walk through that door and say, Father, I have sinned against you. Have my forgiveness. Isn't that a wonderful thing, church? Isn't that wonderful when your child can recognize the wrong they have done and return and said, Mommy and Daddy, I know I hurt you and I'm sorry for what I've done. You see, that will happen when your children know just how much you love them. So if your child is not feeling that love, it's never too late, you know. As long as there's breath in our body, it is never too late to take up that phone, pay them a visit, and to express that love for them. You know, many times we say we are, sometimes in life, we allow things to pass. When it passes, somebody dies. The mom dies, or the child dies, and then we say to ourselves, if only I had gone and paid them a visit and to express my sorrow for them and ask them forgiveness. If only I'd done it. But church, sometimes we can't just sit and wait and say, if only I had. As long as God has given us breath in our bodies, if there's something that we need to correct with our families, make it right before it's too late. Make it right before it's too late. And you know what stops us sometimes? It's pride, isn't it? Sometimes pride gets in the way. Many, many times pride gets in the way and we can't seem to build the bridges because of what? Pride. Because somebody don't want to say, I am sorry. Somebody is afraid to say, I am sorry. And even if I am wrong, why can't I go and say and try to make amends, even if I am wrong? Then the Bible says, if you bring a gift to the altar and remember that somebody have ought against you, what should you do? Go and make it right. You know what we do? We just sit and wait for the person to come. And if that person don't come and try to make it right with us, we are not going. But the Bible never said that. The Bible says, you must go and make it right. And many times we have people, if we just would come to them and say we are sorry or to talk it out, our families would not be broken anymore. But somebody in that family is just afraid to try. Afraid to make the effort to build the fence, to mend the bridges, to reach out in love, and to express that love to somebody. If we can't express love in the home, where else can we express it? If you can't love your own flesh and blood, how can you love me? If you can't love the person inside your own home, how can you expect to love your neighbor as yourself? And that's where it all begins, in a home. One mother wrote this poem based on 1 Corinthians 13. She said, if I live in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but I have not love, I'm a housekeeper and not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but I have not love, my children learn cleanliness and not godliness. She said, love leaves dust in search of a child's laughter. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes away the spilt milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby. Love walks with the toddler and runs with the child. Then stands aside and let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is a key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I came a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. But now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there's much I must teach my child, but the greatest of all is love. When you can teach your child love, that's the greatest thing you can ever do upon this earth. Because that love as a teacher child, when you teach them how to love, they'll learn how to love God, how to love you, how to love the rest of the family, and how to love the church, and how to love mankind in general, based on your example of what love is all about. The greatest gift of love is when God sent his son to die on the cross. There's no more perfect example of love than that. And God has given us an example of what genuine love is all about. And why did God do that? Well, God did that for one reason. Because the Bible says that he is not willing that any man should perish. And if you're here tonight and not a member of the church, then that is what God is saying to you. He loves you enough to allow Christ to die on the cross for you. And for that reason, we are asking you that if you want to give your life to God tonight, walk down the aisle and give him, because he loves you. But if you're a Christian, and maybe you're troubled because somewhere in your family there is a lack of love, or because there's problems in your relationship, let us pray with you about it. Because God loves us all. Why not come tonight as we stand and sing? Let's all stand.